Well, praise God. We're very happy to be here. We're kind of waiting for the mechanics to get set up a little bit.
Dalay ko natong buhing Dios, magpabutabon sa kadali kay na bayang gikinahanglan dire sa pagtudlo nga kanato.
But we are very glad to be here and see your smiling faces. Praise God.
Nagakalipay ta, no? Nakita ta sa inyohang masanagon nga panagway ug malipayon.
We have been very encouraged by our visit here this trip. With the work of God that is going on here at the school, the Bible school, the participation of the individuals involved as well as the different meetings that we have had concerning the Word of God.
Na kitaan nga ang ato po yung Dios nagpamuhat sa nagalain mga buhat bisan pas nagalain nato mga buhaton das Ginoo.
So praise God.
Amen.
I guess they don't have a chalkboard.
Basin wala sila sulat bisara dire.
If you want to open your Bibles to Revelation,
ato nga bliyon ato malang kasulatan sa pinadayag.
I tried to get to this in the Bible school.
Yakining na ipahat na kanato dito pa sa atong pagtuon dito sa Biblia.
And it seems like the Lord had other thoughts in mind.
Tungod kay pulong sa Dios mura man lagi siya og dayamon mo na nga akining mapadayag niya karon. Bisan ang mga nga sigulo at lain na pud nga pagpadayag sa Ginoo.
But I want to go to Revelation 12.
Ato nga bliyon ato malang kasulatan sa pinadayag kapitulo 12.
How many of you know that the Bible has numerics, numbers that mean something?
Makahibalo naman siguro tang ang mga numero sa Biblia adunay dakong kahulugan.
Hallelujah. So, numbers are very important in the Bible.
Ang mga numero importante kayo ning makaplagan nato sa balang kasulatan.
And the number 12 is the number of divine government.
Ang numero 12 ang buti pasabot ni adunay paggobyerno di Ginoo.
And the 12th chapter deals with the metamorphosis of the church.
Ang kapitulo 12 sa mga pinadayag mao kini siya panghitabo sa iglesia.
And it's a very important word, metamorphosis.
Importante kini ka nga atong magtun-an o atong mahibaluan kining pagpalhin-palhin sa kinaiyahan.
Don't confuse it with evolution.
Ayaw kini ninyo kuha siya sa kanabang dili maong pag-interpretar niini.
Metamorphosis is that within a species or a kind, there is a programming that is activated over a period of time to bring the development and the final stages of the entity that it applies to.
Ang iglesia adunay nagkalain-lain nga mga pagpabuhat niini daw sama sa mahitabo sama sa hitabo sa libangbang nga aduna siya mga proseso niini.
And metamorphosis is a spiritual thought, a spiritual revelation.
Ang pag sinati nato nini nga mga kini nga pulong aduna siya pinasahi nga pagpadayag o pagpasabot sa matag sa kanato.
And that thought is emphasized in 2 Corinthians.
O kana siya nga pagtulona na pagunahon na naadya sa ikaduhang Korinto.
In the 15th chapter, I believe.
Magtuo ko nga kapitulo 15.
It says we all shall be changed.
Nag-ingon din ang kitang tanan mga bago.
Hold your finger there in Revelation 12 or put a piece of paper there or something because
diman ilang kanang atong giingon gaina sa pinadayag kapitulo 12 kena patay tanawon uban pa sa ina sa Biblia.
Hopefully we will get back there.
Na naglaom ko nga kita makasabot or makabalik rin gihapon diyan napita.
But 2 Corinthians, the 15th chapter,
ang ikaduhang Korinto kapitulo 15,
is a chapter that emphasizes the change that is necessary from a Christian for a Christian.
Imo makita din nga pagtulunan may tungod sa usa ka Kristiyano nga kinahanglan gyud siya mabag-o or mabalhin.
Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians.
Siguro na siguro sa ika primerong Korinto.
2 Corinthians doesn't have 15 chapters. Hallelujah.
Verse 52.
Yes. Let me go up a little bit.
Verse 51.
Yeah, I want to go up a couple of scriptures.
Atong istudyuhan karon or atong sairan ang nagkadalain ng mga bersikulo or
because
ng mga bersikulo.
Because the whole chapter of this book, the chapter of this particular book deals with change.
Tungod kay ang gusto nga may tabo ni nga mga libruha naga dumala kini diha gyud sa pagkabalhin.
Changing from what is called the Bible calls earthy to that which God calls spiritual.
Ang pagbalhin or pag-abot dito sa gikan sa yutan-on ngadto sa espirituhanon.
Now, least you think that the change as the terminology spiritual implies is metaphysics, it's something that's in your mind or that you have a thought concept about.
Ang kini nga mga bersikulo unsa abot o unsay mga pagpahilon na sa imong nahuna diha sa imong diha kanimo apan kini siya nagakahulugan nga aduna gyoy pagbag-o pagbalhin dito sa laing gadapit.
That fact or that thought is put to rest with Jesus's resurrection.
O kana siya nga maong pangunahon na nagkabutang gayo diha sa pagkabanhaw ni Ginoong Jesucristo.
We knew that he was a natural man with a natural body.
Si Ginoo Hesus, natural ang iyang lawas, diha sa natural nga pagkatao, diha sa natural nga lawas.
But we also know that when he died, he was buried, and when he was resurrected,
makahibalo na magita sa dayang namatay siya, gilubong o siya nabanhaw,
he appeared in a physical form.
Iyang gipakita yang kabalingon sa tawhanon diha kun nga pagpakita.
And we know that it was not a vision. Because this vision had substance. When they first saw him, right after the aspect of that resurrection, he said unto them, "You can't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. So you can't touch me." Later on, he says, "Touch me." So what happened between the time he said, "Don't touch me," and the time that he said, "Touch me"?
So,
what we know is by what he said. He said, "I have not yet ascended to my Father." He had not yet made the transition from the natural realm to the spiritual realm or to the reality of God. Hallelujah.
Magkaplagi nga mahibaloy nga gikan sa natural nga mga panghitabo ngadto sa espirituhan nga mga panghitabo diya sa ingamahan.
So somewhere between the two events,
bisan asa man anang dapit,
"Don't touch me,"
nga ningon siya nga ayaw kong hikapa,
and "To touch me,"
unya hikapa sa ko,
he must have ascended and received whatever accommodation or accreditation that was needed that gave the ability for him to manifest himself in a physical form. Hallelujah. I'm wanting to show you how the Bible defines the reality of God and man working together in a physical form.
ako lang gusto nga may pahat diyan sa mata ko sa kaninyo nga unsa man ang kalabutan nining pagbuhat sa tao o sa Dios.
Now, least you think that this event and this experience was something that was exclusively going to be limited to Jesus Christ, you need to read Romans 8.
Para nga atong masabtan unsa kana ang mga pahitabo, kinahanglan natong basahon ang Roma kapitulo 8 para nga atong masabtan ang ang pagpamot sa Dios diri sa atong kinabuhi.
Now, this is your homework.
Amen.
You have to go home and check me out. You have to make sure I'm not telling you something that is just a story. But in Romans 8, it talks very specifically about Jesus Christ as a man who is walking and talking with God.
Ang Roma kapitulo 8, imo makita diha nga adunay pagsalutay ang usa ka tawo sa Dios, nagani sila daw nagit anwa nang istoryahan.
And you and I who are called to the same position of relationship.
Og sama ra niya ko nini nga ikaw ako diha sa Dios nga kini sama nini nga mao relasyon.
Because Jesus Christ was demonstrating the reality of God and man working together in a physical form, in a physical place, in a physical time. And it might be a little easier if I had the board and could draw you the diagrams. There was a particular prayer that Jesus prayed prior to his crucifixion. That he outlined some of the mechanics that would be put into place by which you and I would be able to achieve that position of relationship. And if you read John chapter 14, it's not about just what Jesus Christ was going to do, but it was in reference to why he was going to do it and to for whom he was doing it.
Hallelujah.
Because he says in John chapter 14, he says, I must go. Hallelujah. And in the Hebrew, the word that is translated must, or in the Greek, the word that is translated must, is not arbitrary. It's not maybe I will, maybe I won't. It is that it was absolutely necessary for him to go in order for him to do something for our benefit. Hallelujah. Because he says he was going to send a comforter.
Yeah.
He went on farther to say, if I do not go, the comforter shall not come. He cannot, he said, I think he said, cannot come. And he said it, he was going for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. Hallelujah. And he said that purpose was where I am. There you might be also. It is not future tense in the aspect of how it is written. It is present future tense. Now, do you have that in your language? Past tense, present tense, present future tense. Hallelujah. That means at that moment, not something that was in the future.
No,
let me rephrase that. Not something that was just in the future, but something at that very moment. And he used two particular words in the English language. That is very particular and references one entity of life, and that is God. Hallelujah. And that those words in the English is I am. Hallelujah. And I suggest that you go into your Bible and you investigate those words I am. And wherever those words are used in reference to God speaking concerning himself, it is always indicative of the omni aspect of God's nature. And one of the first places we read it is in the story of Moses when he was called and elected by God to deliver the children of Israel. I believe that in one of the meetings that we had up in Jabonga, one of the messages was dealing with the aspect of the intent of God to use humanity to save humanity. And we're not. I believe it was Brother Mark. Those messages are on tape. I believe you're going to leave a copy of them here.
We'll make a copy and bring it later.
Well, all right. And in that respect, when that reference of I am, it's important to know the context in which it is spoken. Hallelujah. Now, the first place, as I was mentioning, was with Moses, when Moses was called to deliver the house of Israel. And the whole story of Israel and Moses is a type and shadow of Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm.
As Moses was called to deliver Israel out of a natural bondage, Jesus Christ was called to deliver humanity from sin. As Romans 8 talks about the sons of God, it says that there is a responsibility that is delegated to them by virtue of their experience with God. To deliver them out of the intent of the devil to destroy humanity. Hallelujah. Now, the devil does not plan in his mind to destroy humanity as much as to manipulate it and use it to his own position of benefit.
Hallelujah.
But the devil cannot do anything in that respect without destroying it. Hallelujah. That is why one of the names that is given to Satan is Apollyon. Apollyon means the destroyer. And humanity, in the essence in which it is created, does not have the ability or the potential to survive that type of encounter with the devil. Hallelujah. And we have seen many examples of the devil trying to move into that position in order to inhabit man and have seen the results of it. Hallelujah. One of the most graphic biblical illustrations of that encounter was a man called Judas. It says that when Jesus Christ gave Judas the sop, that the devil, Satan, not some demon or devil of other character, but Satan of his own self entered into Judas. Hallelujah. And what was the end result of that? He went out and hung himself. Hallelujah. So man is not created for that type of experience, for that type of what can I say, communal living. Hallelujah. And if you want something of a lower example, look at sin in the world. Alcoholics die from various causes of their alcohol addiction. Hallelujah. Individuals who smoke cigarettes. Hallelujah. They die of an affliction that smoking the cigarettes are caused. But all of this has to do with the devil. Hallelujah. Well, enough about the devil. I want to talk about God in us. In Revelations 12, hallelujah. In Revelation 12, you have the story starting off with a wonder happening in heaven. And when the Bible calls it a wonder, it is talking about something that is totally outside of the arena of our natural thinking as well as our spiritual comprehension. Hallelujah. And as the Bible goes in to describe it, it begins to draw us a picture. And that picture involves a woman. And it involves a church. It involves the moon. And the woman is pregnant. Not only is she pregnant, but she's standing on the moon. Brethren, this is not an actual physical thing that is being manifested. But it's being revealed in terms that you and I might comprehend and understand. Because it's not actually dealing with a woman standing on the moon. As we know it, that's a physical impossibility. Hallelujah. But the moon, yes, you can read it.
Sa versikulo 12.
Revelation 12.
Ilan ang kapitulo 12, versikulo 1.
Verse 1 and 2.
Uno, dos.
And there appeared a great wonder in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered.
All right. We're not talking about an actual physical thing that is happening in that arena. But we are hearing hearing the concept in a form and which we can relate to and understand. If you would go back into the Old Testament, I believe in Genesis. This is more homework for you. Hallelujah. If you would go back and read the story of Jacob and his son Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. But we know that the dreams that Joseph dreamt were not natural dreams. They might predict, something in the natural arena, but those terms that terms use illustrate a spiritual reality. And what did he see in the dream? He saw the sun. He saw the moon. And he saw the stars. And I think he also saw the sheaves of what they were harvesting, bowing down to his sheep. Isn't that the way it was?
Two separate dreams. One was the sheaves. One was the sun, the moon.
All right, there's two dreams. Well, I'll deal with the sun, the moon, and the stars. But I believe in both dreams, they were paying obeisance to him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And his father, Jacob, interpreted the dream. He interpreted the dream as Jacob being the son, the father,
S-O-N son.
Well, in the dream, the son, S-U-N, was typical of Jacob, the father.
Right.
And the stars were indicative of his brothers. And the moon was indicative of his mother. And they were all bowing down to Joseph. Hallelujah. So in that interpretation, you could say the sun was a representation of Jacob.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The moon was the mother. Hallelujah. And the stars were the sons of Jacob. But you can take it another step. You can take it to the step to where the sun is representative of God. And the moon is representative of the church. And the stars are representative of those who are born again. Paul, in one of his epistles, says that the church is the mother of us all. So if we go back to Revelations 12, and there's something else I need to add, I suppose, is that the Bible always interprets itself. I do not have to come up with some psychological foolish thought or meaning in order to try to convince you of something. The Bible always interprets itself. Hallelujah. So when we go back to Revelations 12, we can begin to understand the concept of which John is addressing. Now remember, I said that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of change. It's a gospel of metamorphosis. Hallelujah. Now, in the natural arena of change, we have the illustration of it in the aspect of the butterfly. Now, I am not a biology major, but I have had enough experience and I have talked to enough of biology people that the changing of the caterpillar in the butt to the butterfly is called metamorphosis. Hallelujah. And it's taken from the Greek word metamorphou. Hallelujah. Now I believe that you Bible school people have interlinears. And I suggest you go and begin to look at the word metamorpho. Hallelujah. Now, one of the major things that this illustrates is that the metamorphosis is within a kind. Hallelujah. When I say kind, what biblical thought or biblical concept would that ring a bell for? Huh? Anybody know? Huh? I'm sorry? Yes, change. But specifically, creation. Yes, but where? What? Yes. Genesis chapter 1. The rules and what regulates change as to kind is put down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little story about this. My wife and I were into farming, agri-retail. We were growing fresh market vegetables to be marketed at the farmers' markets. And I don't know, as you may know or you may not, but farming is a lot of work. It's just a whole lot of work. And we wanted to farm in a particular way. We did not want to use pesticides. We did not want to use herbicides. But we wanted to use the natural things by which we might grow something that would be very good and good for you to eat.
Sa natural lang na pag-tanong o
But you know, the biochemistry industry is going through its own change. And they're now doing bioengineering in the area of genetics as far as seeds are concerned. And they're taking the genes out of certain other kinds. And they're taking it and incorporating it into certain types of edible foods. Hallelujah. And in the particular field that we were marketing, one of the things that we wanted to grow was sweet corn. Hallelujah. But there are two major enemies that sweet corn has. And that is the silkworm. The silkworm destroys the silk that comes up out of the end of the corn. Without that silk, your corn will not pollinate. It won't mature, won't pollinate, it won't come together and produce what it needs to produce. Hallelujah. The other enemy is what we call the corn borer. He will go up on a cob of corn and bore right into the middle of it. And he will eat everything around the corn in that vicinity. And I don't know how it is here in the Philippines, but in the States, no matter how big or small the damage is, that corn is not marketable corn. Hallelujah. So Monsanto did some genetic engineering. I think you guys used Monsanto in different places. Chemical company. I see their signs out in the rice field. Hallelujah. I see their signs out in your rice fields here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, they did some genetic engineering. They took a gene out of a certain species of frog, and they mixed it into the genetic makeup of the corn. And what it does for the corn is that it produces an enzyme
Og unsa kay tabon niya ato mga maisa na resulta kini siya og kanang adunay duba nga naari niya po kaniya.
That will repel the silkworm as well as the corn borer.
Nga mao siya ang mag-atake, mao siya ang mag-ikutra niyatong duha ka mga sakit na gustong mato dito sa mga mais.
And on the natural position or the natural thought, that eliminates for me a lot of work. Hallelujah. But I was a different type of farmer. I would not do anything new or different without praying first about it. So as I was praying to God whether to use this genetic change in the corn to grow my sweet corn, God spoke, I think it was 5 words. He said, everything produces after its own kind. Hallelujah. So I if I wanted to grow genetically altered corn, I would be feeding people something that is not truly of its own kind. It would be part corn and part frog. Hallelujah. So everything produces after its own kind. In the first chapter of Genesis, it's either 5 or 7 times. I'm not sure which. It says, and God did this and created that. And it said, it shall produce after its own kind. Hallelujah. And it is only in one creation that God goes into the specifics of how it is created. And 10 times, thank you. It's 10 times mentioned after its own kind. Praise God. And 10 is the number of law. Hallelujah. So God is specifically stating this is a law that cannot be violated without consequence. Hallelujah. 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 So in the creation of the beginning, God comes to the point to where it is he now wants to create something, hallelujah, that is totally different from everything else that he has created. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, it says that God created everything for his good pleasure. And that anything that was created by him. and nothing was created without him. Hallelujah. But John chapter 1 is very specific as to that creation. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, and you go into verse 26, and it says, let us. Oh, hallelujah. Let us. And that term in and of itself is very peculiar. In the way that it is recorded, the word for God in the Hebrew is Elohim. Hallelujah. That is the Hebrew word for God. And Elohim means the plurality of God. Hallelujah. And when you think of God, you have to think of God in a plurality form. Because when we refer to God, we refer to Him as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So you have a triunity or a plurality of personality. That in some manner or fashion culminates itself and manifests itself as one entity. Hallelujah. Philip in the New Testament wanted to see God. Hallelujah. And when he went to God and said, show us the Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What did Jesus say to him? Jesus says, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So back into Genesis, when you are reading your Bible and it says, and God said, hallelujah. When you say, and God said, you are saying, and the gods, plural, said. And in this particular 26th verse, he not only uses the word Elohim, but he uses the pronoun us. Hallelujah. It was as though there were a council in heaven. And that there was a triunity agreement. Almost as if God divided at that point in time himself up into three recognizable and identifiable entities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For a one specific purpose. And if what I am saying is indeed the fact, then it means that each one of those entities has a specific part to play. And in creating the one thing that they are focusing their attention upon. Hallelujah. And what was that one thought? What was that one intent that they had? He said, let up. Make man. Not only do we want to create him or make him, but we want to make him in a specific manner, in a specific way. Hallelujah. Brethren, I am trying to paint a picture of the reality of what we have as to the thought or the mind of God as concerning our humanity and our position of living in existence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it wasn't that God just wanted to make an image of himself. Hallelujah. It was that God not only wanted the image, but he wants the exact likeness of what he is to be manifested in a man. We spend so much of our time in our Christianity trying to be good. Trying to do or live up to a standard in order to get into heaven. When the concept of the mind of God wasn't to get us into heaven, as it was to get heaven inside of us. God wanted to establish a platform of reality of the spiritual existence of what the Bible calls heaven. Hallelujah. When somebody came to inquire of Jesus as to heaven, as to where it is, Jesus said that heaven was inside of you. So heaven, in actuality, is not necessarily a physical place. As it is a position of personality or entity of life. Hallelujah. Go back into John chapter 1. It says, in him, and the Word was God, Let's read it. I want to read it. Hallelujah. And the word, and it's important to note that the verse starts with these three words. It starts with three words. It says, in the beginning. It's not referring to the time frame in which Jesus was manifesting. But it takes us back to when God was there hovering over the darkness. Hallelujah. It takes us back to the position, the place of the council in heaven in verse 26. Hallelujah. What this first verse does is that it takes the word of God, that which has been recorded for our benefit, that which we call the Holy Bible. Why do we call it holy? Is it not because we believe that it is consecrated, dedicated, and it is a representation of all the thought and intent of God and for what He has regards to man? Hallelujah. So Word and God are one and the same thing. And Word and God have one intent and one purpose that they are focusing on for the end of the day. Hallelujah. And in verse 4, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hallelujah. Now, what was the purpose of that light? What was the purpose of that life? In that it would be bestowed upon humanity. Hallelujah. Because we're not talking about the creation per se, we are talking about what it is God created in the beginning. And what it was that He was expecting to come to fullness or fruition in the time frame that He gave man to do it. Hallelujah. If you turn over, hallelujah, we can begin to understand the reasoning behind what it is God is doing and saying. Verse 12, again we are talking about governmental authority. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. And He goes further to define the reality of that thought or that concept.
Iya yung ipanak, iya pinigipaloma ng mayo para na maistuhan at kung iya katuyuan niya na.
He says, verse 13, which was born not of blood,
nga siya na tao dili sa dugo.
It's talking about natural blood.
Nagpasabot kini sa natural na pagkatao.
Not of the will of the flesh.
Dili nagbuhat on sa unod.
That is in the aspect of desire.
Hallelujah.
Nor of the will of man, but that which is born of the will of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you want to have some understanding concerning what that term analogy means to be born again, you can go back into Genesis chapter 1. I have been told that the whole mystery of God is written in the first five books of Genesis. Hallelujah. But because of my stubborn will and my stubborn thinking, it takes the whole Bible to convince me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says that God formed man of the dust of the ground. And when he had completed the action of that forming, hallelujah, it says that God breathed. Hallelujah. Brethren, God doesn't breathe. God is a spirit. They that worship God must worship Him how? Spirit and in truth. That takes us back to John 14. Hallelujah. But we have to understand the reality of what God is portraying here in Genesis chapter 1. When it says that God breathed into Adam, it means there was something that came out of the entity of Elohim. And it went into that hunk of clay. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, man became. To become means you are changing something from what it is to something other than what it was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the composition of Adam when he rose up out of that dirt, the Bible says he became a living soul. Hallelujah. But the living soul must have a tabernacle that is able to contain it. And capable of handling the aspect of the life that is within.
believe in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And therefore, we have the responsibility to understand the necessity of changing. Because unlike Adam, we were not born in an undefiled environment. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. But John chapter 1 again says that the light shineth into that desolation of humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It shines in there, and what happens? Hallelujah. What happens to you when you receive the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. What happens to you when God moves into the aspect of the darkness of the death that you were born in? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like Adam was encased and encapsulated in dirt and all of the elements of it. Hallelujah. Our dirt receives the breath of God. Hallelujah. And God releases the energy out of Himself. Hallelujah. And that life enters into the aspects of our dead soul. Hallelujah. And there is a transformation. Hallelujah. And there is now a consciousness of sin. Hallelujah. Brethren, I have no consciousness of sin. I enjoyed my sinning. I was not forced to sin. I looked for opportunities to participate in sin. Hallelujah. But when the word of God came to me, it penetrated that death and that darkness. And the first thing that it did for me was to create a consciousness in me of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as I begin to ponder the nature of that sin, hallelujah, it is like that word that you must be born again. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and resurrected for that sin, hallelujah, it was building something in my soul that had not been there before. It was generating something of what the Bible calls faith. That I could believe that I was a sinner. I could see the sin. And I could begin to comprehend the spiritual reality of hell that was within me. Hallelujah. And it begin to create a desire in my being to be delivered. Hallelujah. It wasn't because I believed in hell or in God in the beginning, because I didn't. Hallelujah. I had no ability to believe. I was not saved because I loved God. I had no capacity to love God. I love darkness. Bible says that is why men do not believe. John chapter 3. That this is the condemnation that is in the world, that men love darkness more than they love light. Hallelujah. But as the word of God began to penetrate, hallelujah, and I began the process of responding. Hallelujah. I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And I became a living soul. Hallelujah. I'm now back in the place of Adam. I'm now back in the place of Adam in fellowship with God. Brethren, it says that God came down and he communed with Adam. In the garden, God came down and he walked with Adam. And he says he talked with Adam. Do you know that we have a talking God that wants to talk to his people? Huh? Hallelujah. It says Enoch, one of Adam's grandchildren, walked with God. That means he was in communication and consecration and dedication, and he was hearing God's word. Hallelujah. And the process of that word was metamorphosing his being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a man called Noah. Hallelujah. Whose testimony is that he was God's friend. We have a man called Abraham, who God had such a friendship with him. Hallelujah. That he wanted to discuss with him God's business. When was the last time you had lunch with God? God stopped by Abraham's house. Abraham invited him to sit down and eat lunch with him. Hallelujah. Why is that story in the Bible? What is the spiritual significance of it? It is that God wants to whet my appetite for the things of His friendship. Hallelujah. And we know it was God, because of the prophecy that He dealt with concerning Abraham and the son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then He makes a really startling statement. God does. Should I not tell Abraham, my friend, what I am about to do? Hallelujah. And then the Almighty God listened to the counsel of Abraham. Peradventure, Lord, if there be but 30, will you spare the city? And he just as well might have said, Abraham, for your sake, if there are 30, I will not destroy the city. But Abraham had the gall and the tenacity and the determination until he got down to just 5 people. Can you imagine talking like that to God? Hallelujah. Why is it in the Word, brethren? It is there that you might understand the reality of what it is you are and have, because God wants to give it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have in Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go to John, back to John 14 first. John 14. Jesus said, He says, I must go to prepare. I suggest you go into the interlinear and look up the word, I go to prepare. It means, I go to make a way. Did you hear it? I go to make a way so that the way that I make, you may walk upon it. And he says that where I am, oh my God, hallelujah, there you might be also. Brethren, he's standing right there on the earth in front of the disciples. And his head is in heavenly places. Hallelujah. So he becomes the conduit between God and man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I do nothing of my own. The things I say, I don't say them unless I hear the Father say them. The things that I do, I don't do them unless I see the Father do them. I now go to prepare the way for you, that the way that I am going, the path on which I am walking, you might also walk upon and arrive at that same position, that same place. Hallelujah. It says in John chapter 14, it says, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It says in this particular chapter that the Comforter is the Spirit of truth. He also goes on to say that He will lead you into all truth. Not just truth about God, but the truth about God and His desire to inhabit and fill man. Of man and God working together to come to the position or the place of union. Hallelujah. John chapter 17 goes into a more elaborate and detailed explanation of that union. But this union comes by virtue of relationship and change. Revelation 12, when we begin to look at this wonder in heaven, we're not just seeing a moon, but we're seeing the process and the development or the metamorphosis process of the church of God. And if I had my drawing here of the tabernacle, outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies, the moon on which the woman is standing is a dispensation of church. That deals with the outer court experience. The brazen altar, which is indicative of salvation. Hallelujah. The brazen laver, which is indicative of baptisms. Hallelujah. But the light is not on that particular aspect of the church any longer. Because it says that the light of the sun is clothing the woman who is standing on that moon. Hallelujah. So the outer court metamorphosed into a woman, from a moon to a woman.
Nga ang inanang mga paghulagway ang babae gikan sa bulan ngadto sa babae,
which is indicative of the revelation of the holy place.
Nga mao kini siya ang daga sulti mahitungod sa unsa man pagtabon sa balaan nga dapat.
The pieces of furniture in the holy place are the lampstand, which is indicative of union with God, and man and God working together, the trimming of the wick indicates the death to self message, as I decrease, God increases. More of His nature begins to manifest itself in that arena of my life. Hallelujah. The table of showbread is the relationship that I have with God and with His people. It is also indicative of feeding off of God. Jesus said, "You must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood." And the disciples misunderstood, and then many were offended. Hallelujah. But he said, "It is my flesh that I give for the sake of the body." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position of experiential experiences that I personally must have in order to find the reality of that food. Hallelujah. The woman is not only clothed with the sun,
but
she has a crown, I believe, of 12 stars. The crown is made of gold, which is indicative of the mind of Christ. Paul said, "Let therefore this mind that is in Christ Jesus be in you and I." Hallelujah. It takes us back to John chapter 14, where he says, "Where I am, that you might also be in that position, in that relationship, in that mode of thinking." The 12 points on the crown are indicative of the position of authority under God. Hallelujah. They are indicative of that position of commandment that was given to Adam in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, after God says how He wants to create man, And as he created man and brought him into being, he commissioned the man in absolute authority. He said, I give to you the ability to have dominion. But in order to have dominion, man must subdue. Hallelujah. Brethren. Hallelujah. The Bible, in the terminology as it is written, is very specific. Hallelujah. Do you think God has changed his mind concerning that aspect of man? Do you think that the devil came in and messed up all God's plans and he had to do something else? I don't know what you think, but that is not the God that I know. My Bible says God is without shadow of turning. The Bible goes on to tell me my God is the same today as he was yesterday and as he will be tomorrow. So the promise that was given to Adam is a promise that is given to me and to you by virtue of my new birth. There's one caveat. Do you know the word caveat? Caveat? It's an addition or an addendum to an agreement. There's one little clause. I must believe it.
Hallelujah.
If I do not believe it, it's nothing then. As far as I am concerned, if I don't believe it, I will not obtain it. I cannot possess it because I don't believe it. Hebrews 8. Is it 8 or 10? He says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, brethren, you're thinking possibly of something that is called God. But it's talking about something that is greater than that. It's talking about all that is in God's heart. All that is in God's mind. When he said in the council in heaven, let us. Let us. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, a Hallelujah. I have to believe that that is the God that I am serving. I have to believe, and I have to press through my unbelief in my personal position of resistance of sin and death around me and inside of me, against the death that is out here in the world that constantly bombards your mind. I must believe against the theological concepts that are contrary to this thought of God and man walking and talking together. I don't know what it is you want from God. But I know what I want to believe. I know what I am willing to do in order to possess it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul says, I count all things as dung. Hallelujah. His reputation, all of his education, all of his preeminence in life as an individual, all the position of him being free-born and independent personality, willing to spend more time in jail than out of it. Hallelujah! Willing to sell all that he has that he might obtain Christ. Do you believe like that? If you don't, then be like the man that came to God requiring that he heal his servant. God says, do you believe? Man says, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He must have believed. Must have been delivered of his unbelief. The servant was healed. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Do any of you know that song, I'm Being Changed?
I am being changed.
That's what Berg was preaching about today. You know what? Very well, Peter.
Esterita, kabalo ka na, Esterita? Kabalo ka? Kabalo ko, pero morati kayo ko sigurado.
Change from glory to glory.
What verse is it?
11:6.
11:6. Thank you.
Thank you.
Santo.
Amen. I have one little announcement before we. It looks like we're going to eat here today.
Nasa ipaibalogan nato sa dekta mga ona.
I have some recordings. I cannot leave you a recording of what we've done this visit.
Nasa gipang mga CD niya, di pa niya mayata karon sa sunod na ng atong istudyuhan karon.
It has to go back. They have to be edited. We have to adjust the noise levels.
Iya magunding ato pa sila nito i-edit pa nila o niya para nga mayo ang pagduhog nato nini.
They have to be duplicated and then they have to be printed on the labels.
Ya iya niya ipadaghan o niya para nga mapunapun niya sa patagusan.
The brother Gordon in Nebraska, whom you have never seen, he does this very famous.